cliffcentral.com.
Yena funa hamba kongo. Hey, what's up everybody? You Maraza Law, aka Mr. Kwan, aka PLIND, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
Yo, 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 what's poppin', everybody? Thank you for tuning to Unplugged and In Charge. It is your boy, Vaughn Thiel. I'm holding it down because the rest of the squad is out doing what they gotta do. You know, we usually roll squad deep, but today, I gotta do it alone. But we got some cool guests coming up. We've got some really cool topics to talk about. I was actually, like, I've been away, man. I know it feels like a while since I've been in the studio. In fact, I was, like, trying to learn the decks again. It felt like the first time I was back here on the air, because I've been away for a couple of weeks doing a couple of things, which I'll talk to you guys about. But it's good to be back, and it's good to be back talking to you guys, man. This is usually my favorite part of the week. I know that the rest of the guys are not happy that they're not here, but you know, we also got a whole lot of things that we got to handle in our own capacity. So it's okay, we forgive you, everybody forgives you, no problem. Shout out to Weza, shout out to Simpiwe, and shout out to Lesejo. I know they're busy holding it down wherever they are. But for now, it's me and you, man. It's me and you. We're going to be chatting about a few things. One of the things I want to touch on today, I actually watched a YouTube video, okay? There's this guy, his name, I want to pronounce it correctly, but I'm just trying to, let me just see if I can get it here. His name is, I think it's Simon or it's Simon, but I'm going to say Simon Sinek. He's a British and American author, motivational speaker, and a marketing consultant. He's the author of three books, including the 2009 bestseller, Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action. He's 43 years old, born in October, shout out, in Wimbledon, London. And he's got this video on YouTube that I found, like, someone sent it to me. In fact, a very good sort of colleague, or I would say colleague, but we're more like partners in some sense. He sent it to me over WhatsApp, and he told me to watch it. I think maybe some of it reminded him of me, because after watching it, I was like, "Damn, bro! I hope you don't think that of me." But anyway, it's a really interesting, and it's called Simon Sinek on Millennials in the Workplace. If you have a look at that on YouTube, you'll get the full detail. But I'm gonna break it down to you guys in like a short sort of, you know, summarized fashion, because it is fairly it's pretty in detail when you watch it, but I kind of like just summarize it before I walked into the show because it really caught my attention. Right, so just before we get into that, I know I said that I was away, and it's actually quite interesting that this video came across my path this morning, because while I was away, I was in England for a while, in late Jan, early Feb, and then last weekend I was in Germany. I was traveling with Shane. We had a couple of sort of things to handle when we were that side, with regards to sort of branding and business and whatever else, all that boring stuff. So we were in Berlin for a couple of days, but what was really interesting was the people I got to meet there, and the conversations that I had was able to have in different sort of situations in a completely different country with people from a completely different culture. You know, it was a really eye-opening experience. And I think one thing I learned is that, you know, us millennials are very like-minded. A lot of our opinions and our struggles are kind of shared across the board. You know, thanks Palesa for coming through and just fixing that for me. Palesa, shout out to Palesa, my producer. she walks in here like she knows what's going on. Relax, yo, relax. I told you, work for me. Okay, sorry guys, my bad. If you guys saw that, it would have been funny. I got to have a chat with a couple of young people in Berlin, and it was really interesting to see that the struggles us young South Africans have are kind of shared across the board, you know, across the world, it seems like. Like, the concept of what we think of politics here, and the concept of working and the workplace and job satisfaction and relationships, all these things are like almost like a global shared issue. I think I want to say it like that, because I was having a chat to this girl. She was born in Germany, but she could speak English very, very well. I think most people in Europe can speak English. Guys, we need to step our game up, us English speaking people. We can't speak any other language. It's pathetic. It's really pathetic. Anyway, so I was having a chat to her, and she was talking to me about the political situation in Germany and all around the world, pretty much, just like how they see things. And she mentioned, she was actually talking about our political our political issues that we're facing, and it felt like she was really, really like up to date with what's going on in South Africa, which was fairly nice to hear, because it kind of like tells me that people are paying attention to us, you know. Although what she had to say was pretty bad, she wasn't obviously positive about our political situation, which I don't think we are either. But you know, it was just cool to see that the rest of the world does look to us, which is also kind of adds the sense of responsibility to me. But I kind of felt this shared understanding of life and our points of view on life, and I had no idea who she was. In fact, I'll never ever speak to her again, I don't think. But it was really good to see that young people all over the world had this like-mindedness, and especially, you know, millennials, which was quite a like eye-opening, impactful thing for me, because I kind of felt like a lot of the time you guys that listen to the show and us who host the show, we kind of like sometimes, or I kind of feel like maybe it's just us, you know, maybe it's just us who feel this way and think these things. But it really wasn't, and it was really, really cool to see that she was, you know, she was mentioning things like how she believes that I'm slightly cynical, because I was talking to her about how I think World War III is going to come. Like, I don't know, man, it's just this thought I've been having over the last couple of weeks, especially traveling, just watching how America are trying to isolate themselves, Britain are isolating themselves with Brexit, and these type of things are happening around the world, and it kind of like starts making me feel like they're preparing for something major. And you know, that's, you know, the powers that run this world make money from wars and conflict, and that's when the profitability is the most for the richest in the world. So it gets a little sensitive when you start speaking about these things within the countries that you actually believe might start them. And I'm talking to this German girl about what my thoughts are on this isolation of America and Britain, and how I think it's preparation for a world war. And she starts telling me that I'm cynical. She's like, you're an idiot. I was like, whoa, all right. What do you tell someone in their country? They're calling you an idiot. You're like, damn. I said to her, look, it's just my perspective. You know, maybe I am fairly cynical. I mean, look, I'm open to the criticism, and I listened to what she had to say, and I kind of agreed with her at the end of the day. She opened my eyes to a new way to look at it. She said, Vaughn, you know what? I think you're cynical, and I think you have a very negative point of view on this thing. She said, back in the day, wars started because there was social tension. So social tension erupted, and because there wasn't any other way of dealing with it, because she believes that as human beings we have evolved, we have grown, which in a way makes sense to me, because if you take anything and put it into the world and watch it over time, surely it evolves, right? There's an evolution that takes place, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, but there's something that takes place, and human beings should become better. We should evolve. That should be the belief that we have, you know, internally, that we are becoming better beings. Okay. So anyway, I'm listening to what she says, and she says to me that social tension existed, and what happened was, back in the day, that they didn't know how to deal with it alternatively. So the only other alternative was conflict, and then which caused war. Okay. There wasn't this open, connected world that allowed people to experience different people's perspectives all the time. So the internet wasn't around. Social media wasn't around. The ease of access to information wasn't around. So a lot of the things that really channeled our opinions on certain things were non-existent, which means that people didn't have the ability to see from another perspective, or even sort of try put themselves in somebody else's shoes. Okay. And because of that, the only solution was conflict, and that's where war came from. So what she was telling me is that people have evolved, systems have evolved, you know, the world has evolved. She believes that there's enough good in the world to resolve issues without going to war, without going to a world war, at, you know, which would obviously cause mass destruction and devastation. So in a way, I listened to her and I thought, you know what, that's the sort of the complete opposite point of view that I had, because I kind of start getting, I get pretty cynical about us and how we are, and how we handle situations, even just us as young people, which we're going to get into. But, you know, I listened to her and I thought, wow, that's actually such a nice refreshing perspective from somebody that lives in a country that I'm visiting for the first time, that I've never spoken to before. And it was really an honest, nice conversation, and it really sort of motivated me and inspired me to tell you guys and share it. So I've been sharing it with a few people that are in my life, but I feel like we need to consider this perspective, and we need to take it into our hearts and really analyze what it is, what kind of people we are. Are we the kind of people that are able to solve social tensions without conflict? I think South Africa needs that. You know, I think South Africa really needs people that can solve social tensions and ills without having to get into extreme, devastating conflict, because that doesn't really lead to a happy place, not at all, not for anybody, not for the receivers, not for the givers. It just really doesn't work out the way we envision it, because conflict is never a pretty thing, specifically if it's violent and if it's destructive. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys, saying that, you know, there's young people out there that really believe they are best good people in this world, and I think that we as young people should also believe that. And I think over and above that, it places a responsibility on us. Because if we believe there are good young people out there and good people that can resolve issues without conflict, we need to be those people too. Don't just believe it and be the idiot that is the problem. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. So yeah, it was a great trip all in all, but I'm glad to be back. I'm really excited to be back and back on the radio. It's like obviously my favorite place to be. But we've got a good show lined up. I've got a good guest coming through. We've got Letlonolo in the building. He is a social entrepreneur. He's going to take us through his journey. We're going to be speaking about how you got to be with the people that build with you. He's going to be joining us on air in a couple of minutes while I run through some of the things that this guy was speaking about. Simon Sinek. He kind of made me feel, I don't know if I felt like slightly called out or slightly insulted, but he was pretty harsh in what he had to say. So if I had to sum it up, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to break it down to 4 points. Look, he did have 4 points in what he was saying, because he kind of researched this for days. So bear with me if I do miss a couple of points, but what he was talking about are millennials in the workplace. Okay. And you guys can tweet me at @v_theeverything and #unpluggedradioshow to give me your point of view. You can also hit me up on WhatsApp or hit the station up on WhatsApp if I can just find the number. Here we go. You can hit us up on WhatsApp on 079-748-2090. You guys can communicate with me via that. I've got it up here on the screen. Tell me what you think. If you think I'm talking shit, if you think this guy's talking shit, let me know. Either way, it's cool with me, bro. So I'm going to go into the first point that he made. Okay. So he was saying that millennials are born from 1984 upwards. Okay. So 1984 to date are considered millennials. All right. What he said is that we grew up with parents that told us we can be anything. We can achieve anything just because we want it. What we want, we can achieve simply because it is what we want. Okay? So we grew up in this environment at home, or this environment with our friends, that said, you know, as a millennial, you can be anything you want just because you want it. When you want it, you can have it. Okay? So then he goes on to say that we grow up and we have this mentality throughout school that, you know, if we want it, we can get it. And then we leave school and we end up in the workplace. And we got a boss and we've got people around us, and we slowly start to realize that you can't actually have anything just because you want it. It requires a process. It takes time. You as a millennial, you go into a workplace saying, I really want to make an impact. That's where I want to work. I want to work in a place where I feel valued, where I have an impact, where I can make a difference. That's the shared mindset of millennials, which is great, which he even says he really loves. But because of the nature of the world and the workplace, it doesn't just happen because you want it. Okay. Now, the result of young people learning that it doesn't just happen because you want it, after being told throughout our whole young life that we can have it just because we want it, breaks our self-esteem. Okay. So he goes on to say that this is the generation with the lowest self-esteem in history. He says that because we realize our mom can't get us that promotion, just because we want that position doesn't mean we have to go through all the other positions to get there. You know, these types of realities hit us so hard, and essentially, according to Simon Sinek, breaks our self-esteem, and we have the lowest self-esteem of all generations. When I heard that, I was like, that's how I sounded, because I was kind of shocked to feel that this guy thinks that I have possibly the lowest self-esteem out of all other generations, because I'm a millennial. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, that's bullshit, bro. Like, I don't feel like I've got a low self-esteem. And then he hit me with like a point that hit me really hard, because he was like, I get these wonderful, excited millennials that want to make differences in the workplace. I sit down with them and I talk to them about their jobs, and I say to them, you know, how's your job going? And they say, it's okay, but I'm thinking about quitting. And he says, why are you thinking about quitting? And the millennial will say to him, it's because I've only been here, no, because I'm not making an impact. And he says, well, how long have you been working here? And he says, 8 months. And then he's like, exactly, you've only been here for 8 months. You need to push on. Now, my first job, I quit after 8 months. Because I was like, hell no, man. This sucks, bro. Like, I don't want to work at this place. I couldn't see a future in it. I couldn't forecast any possibility. So I left. So I think, in a way, he might not be 100% correct in saying that as young people, we quit just because we don't have the fight in us. But I do understand his point of view, because then he moves on to something saying that we don't have any coping mechanisms for stress. And the reason he says this is because we live in a world, and we live in a world that is so digitally connected. We have access to social media and information in everybody's lives all the time. Okay. So what I'm saying to you guys is that this is a mechanism that creates pressure and addiction. And what he goes into is that it's factual. I almost said it's a factual fact. What a moron, right? It's factual that when you get likes on Instagram or retweets or like 100 comments on Facebook and people liking your pictures and engaging with you on social media, that it releases a chemical in your brain called dopamine. What dopamine does is numbs you to reality. It excites you. It's the same effect you get when you smoke and when you drink. Now, most alcoholics drink because they escape the stress from social stress, work stress, relationship stress. They usually become alcoholics because of that, and most of them discover alcohol in their teenage years. So what he was saying is that we have a legal limit on alcohol, we have a legal limit on smoking, but we don't have a legal limit on social media. So young people are exposed to this dopamine effect, this instant gratification, this numbing effect to stress, this numbing effect to coping at a young age. So we become addicted because we sit with our phones in situations where we are with our friends. I'm sitting with guys in a room, I'm having a chat to them, they are my friends, right? What happens is I look at my phone and I start messaging someone who isn't there. That's not the right thing to do. You should be in the present. You should be with the people that you are around, because that starts to alleviate the addiction that we've built over all the years, okay? So he starts to speak about the fact that millennials now have the lowest self-esteem of all generations, because we realize that things don't just come because we want them. Okay, it's not ideal like that. He goes in to say that we don't have any coping mechanisms for stress because we have relied on social media, because mentally, subconsciously, the dopamine has been released for so many years in our minds when we get the positive engagement on social media, that the minute something stressful happens in our lives, we shift over to relying on social media. So we don't have anything to cope with anymore. Okay, so he says that. The next thing he says is that we are an impatient generation. We do not have patience to see things through. We don't have the patience to build successful relationships. We don't have the patience to build successful business working relationships, friendships. We don't have the success. We don't have the patience for success, because we have grown up in an instant gratification environment. You know, we want to buy something, we buy it online. Next day, it's at our door. We don't even have to leave. You don't even have to be someone who can mag on chicks these days. You don't even have to go up to a girl and be like, hey, like all awkward, like how are you? You can't. These days you swipe left. You're a boss. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the instant gratification has become so intense that we kind of have forgotten the concept of working towards something. Okay, so Simon starts saying that because of that mentality, coupled with a broken self-image, coupled with no coping mechanisms, we live in an instant gratification mindset. We start to realize that the only thing we cannot instantly gratify. Oh, damn. I'm getting so passionate about what I'm talking about, guys. I just smacked my earphones out of my ears. You feel me? I'm back on track. So because of that environment growing in, because of obviously what I just explained about the broken image and the coping mechanisms, he says that we start to realize that the only things we cannot instantly gratify is job satisfaction and relationships. Those take work. Those take dedication. Those take time. Those take practice. That takes patience. We need to learn patience. Now, at this point in his talk, I was like, oh man, this guy's talking the truth though. Like, there's a lot of what he's saying that made me feel uncomfortable, but I think it made me feel uncomfortable because it is the truth. All right. So it was a bit of an eye opener in a sense, because a lot of the little things he was saying about how the instant gratification made me think about my past relationship, and it made me think about relationships I've had and friendships I've had, and how us as men sometimes say, I want a girl that can do all this and be all that and be this type of way immediately. Hey. It's not a very smart thing to do, okay? So it made me call myself out a bit, which I really appreciate. I enjoy the introspection that this type of conversation brings. So he talks about instant gratification, but with the realization that we cannot get instant gratification in job satisfaction and in relationships, which over the long run, because we live in this like space where we just want to be instantly gratified, we end up, like, for lack of a better word, fucking up our relationships and our job satisfaction. Okay, we really do. In the long run, if we don't change our minds. Then he moves into something and says, the environment we grow up in. Okay, so now he's talking about the corporate environment specifically. Okay, so we're gonna put Little Nono online or on air fairly soon. I'm gonna take a break and I'm gonna chat to him about this specific point as well, with all the other points we just made. But I'm just giving you guys a recap now. So this is the final point of the 4 points that Simon Sinek speaks about millennials in the workplace, and he speaks about environment. Okay, he speaks about corporate environment specifically. He says that today he believes that the corporate environment does not support these young people that are handed this bad deck of cards in life. Right? Why he says it's a bad deck of cards, he says, because the fact that you have a broken and low self-image is a result of bad parenting systems. That's what he said. Okay, then he says the coping mechanisms that we don't have are because of us being born into a digitally connected world. We cannot stop that. We cannot stop the fact that there is Facebook. Therefore, we engage in it. It's not our fault. The fact that we live in instant gratification, he once again says, it's not your fault. It's not the millennials' fault that they live for instant gratification, because it exists in the world we live in. Okay, so he's saying that because of that concept, because of the fact that it's not our fault that we have the lower self-images of all generations, that we don't have coping mechanisms, that we live for instant gratification and lack patience, he says it's not our fault, and the problem is that corporate environments, businesses, do not accommodate for these issues that millennials face, that millennials have, that millennials are. He says that it's the responsibility of businesses to ensure that they create the environments that allow for the moments that are needed to create real trust, to create real patience, to create real friendships and relationships. He says you should not be in a conference with your cell phone. No cell phone should be allowed. You should not look on a phone in a meeting when you're with other people. That should be a rule in a business place. But business places and a lot of corporate environments don't do that, because they care more about the numbers than they care about the young people. They care more about the bottom line than they care about your life. They care about the years more than the life, because at the end of the day, good leadership should be something that nurtures you outside of the concept of being very good at accounting. You know, because you're the best accountant in the firm doesn't mean you're the best leader, doesn't mean that you're a happy person. The leadership in corporate companies and in the world, in everything we're doing, needs to start being driven towards how do we solve life problems that these young people are facing. These are the possible life problems. Philosophically, we have broken self-images. We don't have coping mechanisms because we rely on the digital world to give us satisfaction and our shot of dopamine. We don't have patience because we live in an instant gratification society. And now we're in an environment where it seems like nobody gives a shit about that. They just want us to carry on. And at the end of the day, that's unfair. And that is the responsibility of corporate South Africa to stand up and make changes. And if not, it's the responsibility of us young people who are aware of these issues, who are actively trying to fight being addicted to social media, who are trying to be patient and really have good conversations and be in the moment and live in that space. It is our responsibility, perhaps, to come together and create businesses and systems that start to address those issues, so that if the older generation is not going to make a difference in our lives, then perhaps we need to start making a difference in our own lives and for our own generation, right? Because at the end of the day, we're not going to, like, we can't wait. guys, we can't wait for people to try and change our lives. You know, it's not going to be something that me as a person wants to do. Ooh, can you hear that in the background? Hey, Future's new mixtape's playing. Sorry, guys, I just pulled out the aux cable. But we're not going to wait for people, man. We can't sit around and expect people to make our lives better. You know, as much as we have to rely on our leaders, as much as we have to rely on our leaders, guys, we can't expect them to understand our situation. Our situation needs to be taken into our own hands, and we need to make it work. We need to make whatever we want to do work. And I think as young people, we have the potential to do that. We have the resources to do that. And these four things that were just addressed by Simon Sinek on millennials in the workplace, in some ways are very true. And in some ways, they're probably problematic because he does make major assumptions on things like low self-esteem, on things like no coping mechanisms. Because at the same time, that's his analysis of it, guys. We can take the truth out of that. We can digest what is the truth, call what we believe is the truth, and other things that we disagree with, which there are a couple that I disagree with in some sense there. But I like to look at it in a positive way and see what I can learn from those four points. And we're going to be learning a lot more after the break. We're going to go into a song. I know that you guys know me with the music, man. You know what it is. Every time V the Everything's in the building, we're killing the songs, we're killing the music, because I'm a massive hip-hop fan. So you guys can expect to be listening to all of that all day. So if you don't like it, I don't really give a shit.
What's poppin', everybody? This is your boy Shane Eagle, and you are tuned into the Unplugged Radio Show right here on Cliff Central.
Shout out to the best rapper in South Africa, Shane Eagle. What? Yeah, man, if you guys are just tuned in, we've been talking about workplaces, millennials in the workplace, and we've been talking about building with people that you grow up with. That was Wale featuring Lil Wayne called Running Back. It's Wale's new single. He's trying to get on that new wave. He's really doing it well because the money be coming in. Hey, the money be coming in. Hey, you know what I'm saying? But wait for that new Shane Eagle mixtape coming soon too. He's going to be dropping something fire for the streets to hear. Trust me, man. We've been recording that thing for a couple of months now. The boy is on another level. But talking about boys on another level, I've got a dope guest with me in the building today. Leso Nolo is in the house. What's popping, bro?
Nothing much, brother.
You gotta move that. You gotta move that mic up to me, bro. You gotta move. There we go. You don't want to use the headphones. You cool?
No, I'm cool.
Look at this guy. You know when a DJ, you know when you're in a club, man, and a DJ like DJs without the headphones on. Hey, then you know, bro, that man means business, right? So talking about meaning business, man, I wanna hear what you're all about, bro. Can you give the people just a short synopsis of what it is you do and what it is you stand for, man?
Hi, Vaughn. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Anytime, bro.
I am greatly honored. I must say you're a very good presenter.
Oh, thank you very much, bro. I really appreciate that, though.
No, you're more than welcome.
Thank you, man.
Now, I am a social entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and voiceover artist.
Oh, dope. Voiceover? Yes. Nice, yes, man. Nice. I can hear the voice. It's nice and deep, man.
Thank you.
Do you win a couple of chicks with that voice?
That's a disruption to mankind, but that's a topic for another day.
Oh, for another day, man. Okay. Disruption to mankind. I hear you, dog. I hear you. So, yeah, sorry. I interrupted you there. Tell me what's up, bro.
Now, as a social entrepreneur, what we do is we bring programs that affect our community at a positive scale. The definition of social entrepreneurship from the dictionary's point of view is basically doing business for a social cause.
Yes, to make a difference. No?
Exactly. Okay. That is an enterprise that is established with the aim of solving a problem.
Okay.
Now, the organization that we run under is the Motivational Drive, of which I am the founder. I'm along in the studio with my business associates.
Okay.
Now, what we do is we've got quite a number of programs. But firstly, I want to tell you what was the reason for establishment of the organization, because the reason for establishment of an organization is where lies either the success or failure of a business. Now, the basicness and mediocrity that a whole lot of people in our time operate from was the reason for establishment of our organization.
Okay, the mediocrity.
The mediocrity and basicness, you know. Now, basically, that's where we had to intervene and assist people in maximizing their human potential and to living a purposeful life.
Okay.
You know, emancipating the kind of mindset, the poverty mindset, eradicating poverty, you know. Now, we've got a number of programs that we run.
Okay.
We start from an elementary point. We've got elementary motivational tours at primary schools all the way until your varsity college, which we do motivational tours. We've got career expos, we've got business seminars and workshops, we've got also initiatives that we take on donating sanitary towels. And then on the business side, because as much as we a social organization, we've got the business side, we've got services such as motivational speaking and life coaching,
okay,
personal development and leadership consultancy,
sure,
team building and training, financial literacy and education, also advice as well, and then we've also got counseling.
Round of applause for the boy one time. That's crazy, bro. That sounds like a lot that you're doing, man.
No.
And your major, like what I picked up from that, like your major purpose behind your social entrepreneurship is to eradicate the basicness. And this mentality of poverty, right?
It all starts in the mind.
It all starts in the mind,
yes,
right? So that's very true. And I read sometimes, I won't say I've read the entire book, but a lot of the times I tend to read a bit of Steve Biko and a lot of like socially conscious books, because I kind of feel like that's part of like my responsibility as a young South African. So, and I also read that he mentions a lot. He speaks about the only real oppressor in the mind of a young African man is his, in a life of a young African man, is his own mind.
That's very much true.
And I think that concept applies across the board, right? To poverty, to wealth, to success. I think if we are able to shift our minds in a certain direction, our lives should go in that direction.
That's very much true.
Is your company, the talks that you have, is this the kind of content you speak about?
Definitely. Now, by virtue that your listeners are listening today to Unplugged and In Charge, it shows already that they're seeking a process of changing their lives, because obviously to listen to such a program, it shows already that you realize that you are actually more than you worth right now.
Yes.
And then you realize the fact that the current job occupation or whatever you're doing now actually limits your gift, your ability. Now, hence I took it upon my shoulders to talk about maximizing your gift and utilizing your talent.
Yes.
Because each and every one of us, Vaughn, we were born with a specific gift within us.
We were,
and
like a unique talent.
Unique talent.
Yeah, I hear you.
When you were created with a talent which is supposed to add value to the world, which is supposed to make a great contribution to this world. Now, the problem is, as you were talking about people that I just want to rely on government, the problem is when you have not discovered your gift.
Ash.
It's a crisis.
Yeah.
And your gift is not something that you get from college, or it's not something that you get externally. All that you need to succeed is internal.
Dropping the tools, baby. A gift is not something you get from
college.
Yeah, it's not something you get externally.
Exactly that. We go to college to refine and polish our gift, but
now
we don't go to college to get our gift.
So on that point though, do you think it's a challenge, or I know it's a challenge for young people that leave school, né? What do they choose? How do they choose what they should study? Because sometimes college should refine your gift, né? But you're not always sure. How, like, that process of identifying your gift, do you go into that type of thing? Do you speak about that? Do you know the process that you went through? Like, how did you do it?
Now, your gift lies in what you're passionate about.
Okay.
You might not realize it yourself, but
that's true.
Sometimes it's something you realize, something that irritates you. You want this to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where your gift lies. That's where your calling lies. That's where your business lies.
Something that sits on your mind all day.
Exactly.
You can't sleep without thinking of that thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then sometimes what you do without having to experience difficulties doing that thing could lead you to your gift.
Yeah.
Something that you do and you wouldn't even mind not getting paid to do, that's where your gift lies.
Yeah, I hear you there, man. That's true.
Exactly that.
That's
now,
true. Passion.
Passion and purpose. Now, the problem is that a whole lot of us, we're trying to seek success from external factors.
Yeah.
Only to find that all that we need to succeed is within us. You know, God cannot give you a vision without providing a provision. For every vision that you have, allow me to say to you that God has already made a provision for that. Now, if you discover your assignment, because as I started this interview, I say that each and every one of us was born for a specific assignment.
Yes.
And of which, if you do not do that you were born to do, you leave this world void. You create a certain space that no one will ever come and fulfill that which you were born to do.
Oh, because it's uniquely you.
It's uniquely designed for you. God designed you and equipped you with the specific gifts and talents specifically for that role which He entrusted you to do.
Woo!
Now the problem is,
talk to the people, bro.
Now a problem is that a whole lot of us, we're so busy trying to pay water bills, light bills, that we walk past our gift, the thing that's supposed to make us great.
Because we're so trapped in the system.
We're so trapped in the system, you know. And it's in our culture. It's in our culture to trap us in the system, because human culture makes it the number one goal for us to get employment, which is directly opposite to God. So as Dr. Miles Monroe puts it, God's purpose for humankind was not employment, but it was deployment. Now, employment is when you use your gift to benefit someone else and they succeed. Now, deployment is when you use your God-given gift to benefit humanity and you prosper. Now, if everyone else thought this way, I promise you, we would not have crisis of lack of self-esteem, because from the moment that you realize that I was created, equipped with potential, created in the image and likeness of God, there's no way that you can lack self-confidence.
Self-confidence,
no? There's no way that you can lack self.
Yes, Simon Sinek. Yo, man, you guys, that guy that made that video, we're not that broken, bro. We're not that self-esteemless. We got some belief. Come on, dog.
That's very much true.
Yeah.
That's very much true. Actually, the problem, as I was saying to you, that God's purpose for you is deployment, you know, using your gift to benefit humanity. Now, the problem is that a lot of our matriculates, when they go to varsity, they go to varsity and choose a career without the gift in their mind.
Okay.
There's a whole lot of people that are working currently and are living a miserable life because when they chose their career, they did not have the gift in mind. It's very much important that when you choose your career, you need to have your gift in mind.
In mind.
Because as much as you might have more degrees than a thermometer, but then if
4 degrees in a thermometer, babe.
If you're not being that person which you were born to be, you will not feel fulfilled.
Yeah, you won't have that happiness.
You would have that happiness. And at the end of the day, it all boils to being content.
Sure.
It all boils to being fulfilled, being content, you know, with your life, with your purpose, the reason for establishment, your why, actually. Why are you doing what you do? If it's only money that's motivating you to do that which you are born to do, that which you are doing, then I'm sorry to say this, but you will never be content.
Yeah, you'll never really feel that that's like definitive of eternal sort of like happiness, right?
And there's no way that you can cry about employment when you've discovered your gift, because your gift is within you. If you chase away a bird, it takes flight with it.
Hey, that's true.
Tell fish to go away, he takes swim with him. Now your gift, you go with it. No one can retrench you from utilizing your gift.
Yeah.
Because even if your God, even if your boss retrenched you, wherever you land, you can operate because your gift is within you.
Is within you, yeah.
And
it's like kind of being aware of what you're exactly capable of. It's like when you think about yourself as a person and what you can offer this world, you need to be 100% aware of what it is I can do, what it is I love to do,
exactly.
And then make sure you try and do that every single day. Right?
Now, the problem with us is we so looking at withdrawing from this world than making a deposit. You were created more than just to suck up oxygen and die. You were created to leave a legacy, you know. And let me tell you something, poverty depends on what people think of you as your value. But when you tend to think of how you value yourself, when you discover your gift, you tend to think more about yourself. You know, now if you allow other people to determine your value, that's where you got it all wrong. The moment you discover your gift, you discover your value.
Shout out.
There's a saying that says your net worth is determined by your work.
Ooh.
But allow me to say to you that what determines your worth is actually the amount of level that you exercise your gift.
The level of your worth is the amount you exercise your gift.
Exactly.
Because the more you exercise your gift, the better you get at that, the more comfortable you get in that space, and the more effective it is in the world.
Exactly. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a man's gift makes room for him. In other words, it makes it impossible for you not to be recognized when you utilize a gift. For example, we always complain about investors. We always complain about funding as youth.
Yeah.
But then, why don't you attract the investors? Because once a mango fruit or whatever fruit bears its fruit, there's no way that people wouldn't walk towards that tree.
Yeah, because if you start to show, like I say this to people too, it's like don't always just expect something.
Yeah.
let's see the wheels turning. You know, it's like there's a saying that says, okay, if you drive on a highway and you see a guy, it's pouring with rain, but you see this guy stuck on the side of the road, he's just sitting in his car,
that's true,
you're not going to stop and help that guy. Nah? But if you drive in the rain, it's pouring with rain, you see a guy out of his car pushing his own car in the pouring rain, what you're gonna do? You're gonna get up and help him, because you feel, you can see a man is trying to make a plan.
That's
make a plan. People will support that plan.
That's definitely true, because the demand upon your life is directly tied to the problem which you have to solve. Because each and every one of us is here to solve a problem, and then we are given a gift equipped to solve that specific problem. Now the moment you realize that, you need not to cry for government. You need not to depend on government. Because our youth currently, we've created what we call a government to be an economical parent, of which when the government fails to produce our needs, we think that it's the end of the world. And that's not how we're supposed to operate as youth. Like, as you said, we are the Manilian youth. We need to make things happen. You know, it's about time that we started standing up for the things that we want to see change in our lifetime, you know. It's about time that we be the people that we were born to be. And it comes from exercising your gift and talent.
Absolutely, bro.
It comes from within. It's not something that you get externally, as I said.
You can't find it outside there. It comes from inside you. Everything comes from inside you, man. Like, the people that you're around support what's inside you. You know, it's important to have good people around you too, when you want to identify this gift, so they can keep pushing you to reach that. Speaking about having good people around you, I know you brought some homies in the studio.
Definitely.
I like the way Derek's looking with the cap and the tat. Derek, what's happening there, bro? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm all good, man. Thank you for pulling through. Talking to your friend, Little Nolia, he seems like a very well put together guy, very well motivated and extremely positive person. Are you guys close? Have you guys been friends for a long time? How do you support each other?
We've been friends from like the longest time. I recall being his friend since the age of like maybe 11 or
That's crazy. So it's been a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years. So I know him on a personal level, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing you can tell me about him that I don't know already.
I feel you.
So we support each other, whether it be relationship wise, you know. Spiritually, you know, whatever problems that we may face, we're going to face it together.
That's very
because
important.
Because if you don't face it together, it actually defeats the whole purpose of brotherhood.
Exactly,
so
right? So
trying to push.
Build with the people you came up with,
exactly.
Right? Stick with the people that were there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, talking about the motivational drive and making a social impact with your businesses, are you guys involved in that too?
Yes, we are.
Okay, cool.
As he said, we are his business partners.
We
together. So every movement that he pushes, we're part of the movement.
Nice.
You know, whether it be the marketing strategy or whatever, or how we're gonna come out to the people, finding sponsors or whatever, motivating people, we're there.
That's awesome,
know?
Bro.
Yeah.
We need more people. We need more friends like you guys, man. We need more groups of young people with minds that want to make a difference in this world. It's very important. We got another guy in the building. He's on the left hand side of my boy Derek, right over there. His name's Trini. What's poppin', Trini?
Yo, man. All is good, my man.
Are you good? Always good. You look like a really happy guy. You got like this really happy face. You gotta get closer to the mic, though.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah,
cool. Like I was saying, man,
yeah.
You know, you have to like, you know, condition yourself.
Just give me a second, hold up. Guys, whenever I do that, that means Palesa just walks into the building. Palesa, what's happening? What do you want to fix? What do you want to fix? Are you good? Anyway, sorry to interrupt you, bro. Tell me what's up.
Yeah, man. Like you said, man, we've been working together since the inception of the company.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I have to say, like, ever since we've been officially registered, there's been nothing but exponential growth on our part.
Oh, that's great, bro.
Yeah, we learned a lot, and you know, we're addressing such issues like the topic that you're having today. And I think one of the main problems is that we as the youth is that, how do I put this? We wanna get without giving a fair equivalent.
You want to get without giving a fair equivalent as a youth. Absolutely.
We
want to receive. We have this thing of entitlement.
Exactly.
Now, all of us. And that's
exactly,
in a way, that's what Simon Sinek was talking about. He said, he said, the major problem with the millennials is we feel entitled.
Yeah.
We don't want to go through the processes. So, you know, one thing that you're saying now that really hits me is that as young people, we need to give to return,
that's
to get
true.
In return.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that when life is fragile, life is a roller coaster. Life is Faisal. Firstly, Mandela, when he went to prison, he went to prison as a lawyer.
Yes, he did.
He was up there. In prison, he became a prisoner.
Yeah.
He was down there. Mm-hmm. When he went out as a president.
President.
Likewise with Joseph. Joseph, his brother, sold him to Egypt.
Yes.
He went there as a prisoner. He went from the pit. They threw him in the pit. Yeah. And then he went from pit to being a priest, you know. So life is Faisal. Today you're up there and tomorrow you can be down there. Now the problem with current youth is we do not appreciate the stages of life. We do not embrace the challenges along the journey, you know. We just want to see ourselves up there.
Hey, that's such a good point. Because you know what Simon Sinek said? Hey, you know what he said?
Yeah.
It's so crazy. You see how things work in the universe, how things puzzle together. Because what this video said to me, exactly what you're saying, it's a metaphor you used. He said, you know what? Young people, we look at this mountain, and at the top of the mountain, we see idealism. We see what we ideally want to be and do and feel this happiness, and that's where we put our mind at. But we look at that idealism so much that we don't realize that there's a mountain in front of us that we need to climb.
That's true.
And we get frustrated because all we want is that top peak of the mountain, but we don't want to take the steps needed to get to the top. So exactly what you're saying now, we don't always recognize that there's a process.
And to get to the top, you need to embrace challenges. The problem is that we run away from challenges. David, what made him great? It was conquering Goliath, the problem.
Yeah, you know? The big problem.
The problem that you have today is actually leading you to your greatness.
Yeah.
The problem is that when problem come, we tend to cry, we mourn and all that because we just want to see ourselves at the top.
Mm.
And we don't know that everyone that has ever become great, the people that we read about in this day and time, they solved a problem that was the reason that they were great today. Now look at people like Esther. Esther solved a problem of genocide.
Mm.
Jesus Christ solved the biggest problem of sin. You know, every great person, Martin Luther King, which I follow very much, solved the problem of racism and all that within America.
Mm.
Each and every person that is great
Gandhi,
today.
All these guys, they did major things.
They solved a problem, you know.
Sometimes as a person, also, I agree with you. You're solving a problem in your life right now.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yes.
That's what I was just about to talk about. We, as the Motivational Drive, we're solving the problem of mediocrity, basicness, mental captivity.
Yes.
Those are the kind of problems we're solving.
Absolutely.
Sorry
to interrupt you there, Lelano. What's powerful about that is that sometimes you don't need to become the president to solve a problem.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
You can solve the problem in your world. And if you solve your world's problem and I solve my little world's problem, together we solve a big issue.
Because you're the governor yourself.
You see?
That small world.
Tony with the jewels.
There's nothing such as public chaos, Vaughn.
Mm.
We've got an individual chaos that affects the community.
Mm.
If everyone was well organized, well managed, we wouldn't have community problems.
That's
so
the truth.
It's all about managing where you are. It's not about waiting to be great for you to start making a difference.
And just to jump in there, and the problem is that us youth, right? We want quick success, as Lufano said, you know. We want money like instantly. We don't actually realize that you're going to have to work for it, you know. And the pressure of us wanting money, you know, is because of social media. You know, you go on Facebook, see your favorite artist or celebrity driving a nice car, or your peers, you know, driving a nice car, and then you can't actually wait to get there, you know. And then you actually just forget that you're going to have to work.
The pressure gets to you.
The pressure gets to you, you know.
It's so true, man. Like, if you guys have just joined in, like, we're on the last 5 minutes of the show. So if you just joined in, yo, wake up, bro.
That's true.
Get back on this radio show from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. But anyway, if you've just joined in, we've had the guys from the Motivational Drive-In, Lelano Treni and Derek. They're in the building with us. They've been chatting about what they do and how they build together to make a difference in their communities. If you guys are just tuning in, I'm going to be wrapping up real soon, so I want to get like the last thoughts from you guys. Okay, I want just like a final thought, just like a sentence or two about what you'd like to tell the youth, starting with Treni, going to Derek, and then ending off with the main man, Lelano.
You know, for me it's simple, man. We need to curb this mentality of conformity. So people need to bear in mind that if they can feed you, then they can starve you.
That's what I can say. There we go. If they can feed you, they can starve you. Jules from Treni in the building.
Mine is just simple, hey. Patience is key. You know, whatever dream you may be pushing right now, whatever idea, you know, whatever path that you might be taking, patience is key. Because without patience, it's just going to mess up with your mind. It's going to mess up with the vision. So patience is key.
Patience is key.
Yeah.
I hear you there, bro. That is so true. And you, Lelano, know what you're saying to the young people, man.
My conclusion will be the law of sowing and reaping. As we all know, the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. Now, to my listeners, I say to them, whatever that you sow, sow with excellence and with greatness, because whatever that you sow, you will reap.
There is no success
that is not worked for.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if God is not included in whatever you do, your success is in vain. Success without God is no success. So in whatever plans that you have for this year, whatever that you have, put God in your plans and you will succeed because He created you to succeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate what you're doing. I really love seeing young people moving and shaking. We need more of you guys in the world. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yo, man, that brings us to the end of the shortest hour of the week, every single week, the Unplugged Radio Show. I am your host, Vaughn Thiel. The rest of the dudes are out doing their business. You know how it is, man. You know how it is. These guys get busy. You know, guys like Lesejo, Simpiwe, Weza, shout out. Shout out to Weza this week. I see he got some offices up in Joburg to do some motivational, coaching or voice coaching and that type of thing, which he's really doing well at. Shout out to him. I know Simpiwe has been busy with meetings, and you know your boy Lesejo is always in some or other conference where he is trying to win the land back for his people in South Africa. Shout out to you, LSG. I see you, my boy. So therefore, from my side, you know, we had a really good discussion with the guys from the Motivational Drive, speaking about building with your friends and making a difference in the society that you live in. Some really cool dudes doing some really cool things out there. It really makes me think about the conversation I had in Germany with that girl that says, there are good young people in this world, Vaughn. There are good young people in this world that can resolve issues without conflict. I believe it can happen. I know us young people will rise. We will prove these old cats wrong, because they don't really know who we are yet, but they will soon. We spoke about millennials in the workplace, which was a really interesting topic to me, and I'm still going to go into that because I'm very passionate about the workplace. As an entrepreneur, I try to make my difference in my space. So, thank you for tuning in, guys. I really appreciate your support. I really appreciate your listening to my voice. I hope my voice is not annoying. I hope that it does make this the shortest hour in the week. But anyway, man, until next time, tune in to Unplugged and In Charge every Thursday from 12 to 1 o'clock. We really appreciate all the tweets and the WhatsApps. Shout out to you guys. We're signing out.
Hey, it's Tessa Tala, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show on CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.